Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
Are you ready? I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
Campbell, the Voting Machine, from our third studio album, Starlight One. It's set for release on the 1st of September 2023 on Supertone Records and available to pre-order now.
Well, yes. The second track.
It is.
Because what we're doing over this series of podcasts is we're playing one track a week
in sequence.
Mm-hmm. Now, in actual fact, this album is supposed to be listened to in two halves. Side A and side B, because that's how we wrote it and that's how we put it together. So it's meant like vinyl. So you sit down, you listen to one side and then listen to the other. And but what we're doing is that we've decided just to play the tracks and talk about them. And we might compile it later on into one continuous thing. We don't know yet. But anyway, what I want to know
right.
is talk to me about what the lyrics are about. That's the first thing we need to talk about.
It's the voting machine. Yeah. I've been intrigued by the voting machine because of all the kind of American politics that started it off with all the, you know, it's rigged and can you trust the machines? And then I started looking into it, and the first mechanical lever voting machine debuted in New York in 1892.
No.
It did. And then the method of voting took over in the 1960s, and half the nation used the machines then. And I started thinking about, you know, like in years gone by, like all in favour, raise your hands, you know, and just the way we kind of run our societies in different cultures, and just how key it is to have that trust, and how important the machine is has become actually. So that was really. I wanted to write a story about what's really going on and about these people that you vote for and get into power, and look what they make you do as well, you know? And it's all about what are you going to, you know, this filthy truth, this dirty truth, what is the truth and what are you voting for? And are these people actually going to represent you when they get there, you know? So it's like you vote for these people and then you're clapping, you know, to show that you care. And it's like... It's kind of a bit of a wrap in a way of just running through the stories of what's been happening in the last year or two.
Well, I love your vocals for that because not only are you singing it, but you're doing all the backing vocals and like la la la, which is really cool, sort of left to right
that
and
was
stuff.
Fun.
And then you were doing all the backup as well. So I wasn't singing that, and you really wrote the lyrics on that, the whole thing, you know. So it was I really love that song.
Thanks.
But not only were you singing on it, you were also playing bloody virtually everything else because you were playing bass, you were playing kazoo. Because those harmonica and stylophone, because those at the beginning, there's three different ones and the three different instruments.
Yeah, we were interested in trying to create some different sounds, weren't we? So we had a playtime one night when we were just messing around. What can we make sounds with, you know, just to get a different feel to it, to make it more belong to us, you know, like a handmade garment, you know. It was one of those things what you wanted to do.
Well, the stylophone was funny because they are pretty temperamental anyway. And what
they
we had to do, of course, we had to do a chord. So you had to play one note at a time and then multitrack it.
Yeah.
So we, and then created the chord. So
can you believe that? My mum bought me that stylophone when I was about 12.
Absolutely fantastic.
So it's really great that I've kept it all these years. And it's like, and finally, you know, we're able to sort of incorporate that. And you got me a gold kazoo last year, which has been sat on the shelf with all the percussion for ages. So I was so excited to play that as well, because it's like, it's so much fun playing kazoo. In fact, because we played it on the live stream as well.
That's right, and we had to do a chord with that as well. So it's really hard. I mean, the harmonica is a bit easier, but it was amazing. But also, you were playing keyboards on that. And this is, we were talking about a little bit of this last week, because this series of shows now, what we're doing, we're actually talking about each individual track over a number of weeks.
Yeah.
9 weeks, isn't it? So we're actually going to do that. And this was the second track from the album. So we're, just talk to me about these keyboards, because, you've played piano before and you've played...
Well, I'm completely self-taught. From the age of three, I've just used to jump on people's pianos and play tunes. It's like they call your fingers and you just want to play a little tune. So I've been teaching myself for a long, long time, really, just in terms of... But it calls me, you know. When I sit at a piano, it's like... I don't know what happens, but the emotion that's in my heart comes out in my hands. And I just feel very connected to it. I'm not a massive classical player, but I just feel very connected to the keyboards and stuff as another way of making music. And what was really interesting about this, though, with the serendipity that happened, because this was the Moog Opus 3.
That's that brass thing in the middle, like da, ba 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 ba.
And it was. It was just weird because our friend Adriano Sergio from Ergon Guitars, we'd both been really busy for a while, and then suddenly he just, I've got this Moog Opus 3 I'm selling. Would you be interested in it? Or do you know anyone who'd want to buy it? And we just go, no way. So we popped down and picked it up and had a play with it, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's...
But it's not MIDI, so you've got to play it. You can't actually program it, you know. And it's a tricky thing because it's a bit of a funny sounding, all those keyboards from that era, because it's like, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like really odd.
Well, it also as well, because I played French horn at school, from age 11 to 15. So I love that kind of brass thing, because I didn't play the trumpet, but I love those parts, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing about this whole album is that we've really just like experimented and learned and without any sort of restrictions, haven't we? But also, what does the song need? Because what I love about, actually, we'll talk about our new drummer,
yeah,
Ugu Danin, because the way that Ugu brought the groove into, and it feels like machines in my mind. Can you not hear? It's almost like Aardman animation. You've got all these kind of stamping things going on, and all these kind of the visual pictures I get from this song of machines and cogs and stamping, and it just feels like a machine. Then the way he's grooved that rhythm.
Well, the interesting thing is when we actually wrote it with the drum machine. So we started off with the drum machine,
which you programmed,
the Tempest. And then we played it along, and Ugu started playing along with it. And that's where it goes, because if you listen to it carefully, there's like some almost like claps on the right-hand side, and that's the Tempest. And then there's a hi-hat in there as well, and then he's actually playing around that. So we left it in, and we sort of panned it. And it is mechanical, it's like, because it's like a really cool sort of, it's almost like an Afrobeat sort of groove, but pretty rocky. It's really odd, you know. Yeah. But I love his style, and he's very 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 creative, you know.
And what was lovely when we met him is that he came down, had dinner, stayed over, and we started working together the next day. We'd never met before, had we?
That's right, yeah.
And it was so perfect, such a natural meeting of kindred spirits in that way. And we were just very open to sort of experimenting with each other, weren't we? She's like,
well, he's coming on tour with us as well.
He is as well. So, we're going to have so much fun.
Yeah, so we're playing half of October and at the end of September,
yeah,
aren't
we? Yeah, we kick off the tour on the 29th of September at the Pioneer Club in St Albans. And actually, this week's show is dedicated to our final gig on the tour, because we will be playing at Coolham Music Club in Horsham on Saturday the 14th of October.
Mm.
And we're touring as a trio, but for the final night, we've got Christian Madden, who's been on tour with us and played on all your solo albums as well. And Christian plays keys with Liam Gallagher Band. And so he's going to join us for the final night. I think it's Coolham's 10th anniversary as well.
That's
so
right.
They pre-sold 25% of the tickets before they've even put them on sale.
Blimey.
So they're going out on sale proper beginning of July. So if you want to come see us on Saturday the 14th
of
October.
Quick, yeah.
Indeed. And before we move on, because I've got here a note, because I want to find out now, because the thing is with Simon John Campbell, when I work with you and you care so much and you get obsessed so much and you go deep diving these things and it's all about the song and I know it, I can feel it. And it's like you were messing around for ages with the guitar sounds.
Yeah, I was.
What was going on?
Well, what I wanted,
because I left you to it.
Yeah, I wanted something different this time. And I decided to use on this album AC30s, a lot of AC30s. We've got two vintage AC30s, one for the early 60s, one from the late 60s, one top boost and one not, if you're technical minded. And also, well, I mic'd them differently. I mic'd them with condenser mics, like a Neumann U47 and my normal Royer as well. And I wanted to explore something different. But if you listen to that, that riff, that is a classic sort of AC30 sound, but I don't like using pedals, so you've got to turn them up fucking loud.
You did.
And you know, and the whole house is bloody vibrating, the studio, because we don't have a separate live room here. The control room, i.e. where the console is, where we are now, and where we play, isn't the same place. So Start, I've got a headphones on recording me. And then also what I did is that you listen to some chords as well, and I really blasted them with one of my favourite effects units of all time, which is the TC-1210 on a flange mode.
And I
had it flanged up, totally flanged up. So that, on the right-hand side, there's loads of flange. Then we had a few chords in there as well and stuff. So yeah, it was a really cool thing to play, actually. But I love that little lick. But originally, the lick was all the way through it. But when Ugu started playing, and we got the bass in there, because that bass is like do 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 do, and it's almost Motown. If you isolate the bass,
it's a bugger to play.
Do 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 babu do. You know, it is a bit of a bugger. But
I'm so pleased with the way that's come together, though, and with that we've just got the masters back as well from John Astley, and it just, I mean, this is it just jumps out at you, doesn't it?
Yeah, so that's it. It's mastered today. It's, well, we've got them back today, so listen to it.
So this is the first time, actually, that you've got the masters being played. Because last week we played the vinyl masters, didn't we?
We
the
did.
First one. So this one is the CD, sort of digital master, the voting machine.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, what do you see? You see it clearer, or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all, and you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Some people got the real problems. Some people out of love. Some people think I can solve them. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. Oh, some people got the real problem. Some people out of love. So Lord, heaven's above. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human. I made mistakes. I'm only human. It's all it takes to put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human. I do what I can. I'm just a man. I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
Wag and Bone Man. Human. Released as a digital download on the 21st of July 2016 through Sony Music and Columbia Records. The song is included on his debut studio album of the same name, released in February 2017. It was later used as a theme song for the 2018 American web television series Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
You like that song?
It's
a blues. You like that series? Yeah, it's blues.
It's a blues, and he's a blues singer. And that's the thing, is that I think, you know, when I heard that, I thought, oh, it's a blues.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not really familiar with the stuff he's done later on, tell you the truth, but this song, it got me. And, of course, the reason why we're playing it is that he's from East Sussex, isn't he? So which is very close to the cool music club.
In Horsham, yeah. So, yeah, so tonight's show is featured in Sussex, actually. So we're going to be featuring artists from that area. And also just to sort of flag up about the Coolham Music Club as well.
Because
they have other acts on as well as us. And it's great to go and support them because they love music. Really, really passionate people who are running that venue.
They are.
Really, really cool.
Really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. So the Rag and Bone Man, Mr. Rag and Bone Man, do you know how he got his name?
No.
Harold?
No.
Yeah, Steptoe and Son.
No.
Yeah, it was after the TV series Steptoe and Son. And it was... Rag and Bone Man.
Brilliant.
Do you know, in Ross and Wine, where I grew up, we used to have a Rag and Bone Man. And he used to have a cart horse. And I was trying to work out, was I think she was called Sally.
No.
And his name, he used to come up the road with Sally the cart horse and ring his bell. And then everyone would come out from the street and, like, give him Mr. I think he was called Mr. Jones or Mr. Smith. I tried to find him on the internet the other day.
Maybe Mr. Jones because it's near Wales. Mr. Jones.
Well, no, we do not. We had lots of Mr. Hugheses as well teaching us as well. Yeah, geography, Hughes. Mr. Hughes history. There are lots of Mr. Davies was my fifth form tutor.
Of course.
And lots of Davies, lots of Hughes. And, so, yeah, but I know the Rag and Bone Man, you know, because it was great and he always felt good, you know, hello, how are you doing, you know, as a kid. Yeah. And what a... So, yeah, so isn't that funny, though, that you've got this young guy, he's actually into Steptoe and Son?
That's incredible. Because, I mean, it's an old series now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the guy who played the old guy, what's his name, was born in Colford or Cinderford in the Forest of Dean. I should know his name, actually.
Yeah, later on.
So Rag and Bone Man's actually, his name's Rory Graham. And he co-wrote this song with a guy called Jamie Hartman, who's worked with Lewis Capaldi, Carole King and Kylie. It was produced by a guy called Two Inch Punch, a.k.a. Ben Ash. And he's written for, like, Sam Smith, David Arman and Brian Eno.
Ah.
Yeah, so see, it's all tying up this music family thing. And this album became the fastest selling debut album by a male for a decade and went to number one in 15 countries.
Holy shit, ka-ching, ka-ching.
I know, and he won in 2018. Mr. Rag and Bone Man won the Brit Award for British Single of the Year, British Breakthrough Act, and the Critics' Choice Award.
Yeah, I see. It's a different sound.
Yeah. He's a lovely chap, you know. I've watched a few interviews. You know, I love doing this show, and I say it every week, but it's just great knowing about... So Roy didn't like school, you know, and they didn't like him. They expelled him when he was 15.
Good lad.
Yeah, good lad. So he decided that he didn't want to go to school, and he started recorded with the Dog and Bone EP and worked on the project, Put That Soul on Me with Dirty Dyke. And then he started working with Mark Crewe in 2014. He released the EP Wolves. A year later, there was the Disfigured EP, and a song from it was playlisted on BBC Radio.
Uh-huh.
And the whole world started talking about him when he released Human in the summer of 2016.
I'm
dancing, I feel the warmth. Up mountains at midnight.
Royal Blood, Mountains at Midnight, the first single released on May the 26th, 2023, from their forthcoming fourth studio album, Back to the Water Below. And that's due for release on the 8th of September, a week after ours, on the Warner Brothers Records. And in 2014, just to sort of put you in the picture here with Royal Blood, their self-titled debut album was the fastest-selling British rock debut album in 3 years in the UK.
Great sound. Very, very big. And what I didn't realise about these guys is it's basically a duo, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's drums and bass.
Yeah.
and that bass, he's apparently uses a lot of effects pedals and amps and stuff to actually simulate sort of the higher registers like guitar. So he's obviously got some chords in there.
Yeah.
And harmonised and stuff. And it's really, really cool. It's a great sound. Very dark, you know?
Yeah.
Because when I listen to our stuff, and ours is quite bright and punchy and sort of light sounding. And that, it's very sludgy, isn't it? There's loads of sludge at the bottom end of the kick. And really, and there's a load of bass, of course, you know? Much bass.
Well, no, never could be too much bass. Yeah,
too much bass, baby. No, it's not. It's even great. You know, and it's really the first time I've listened to them at length, you know, of course I've heard of them and seen them on and off.
This is all brand spanking new as well, so this is what they've been doing recently, which is, it's always a joy to play when you're right up to speed with, you know, where a band's like they want changing things up.
Yeah.
And this is the first single release, you know. It's a bit exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very, very great rock and roll sound, you know. And it is sort of British. It's British sound.
Yeah.
It's got that aggression and fierceness about it, you know, that I think sometimes the Americans don't have, you know.
No, not as much.
Yeah, not as much, yeah.
So they've been dubbed the saviours of rock and Brighton's visceral two-man rock rescue unit. That's not easy to say.
Rock rescue unit, Waddowick.
So they formed in Worthing in West Sussex in 2011. So they've been going like 10 years, 12, no, 12 years, 13. The current lineup consists of Mike Kerr on vocals and bass and Ben Thatcher on drums. And yeah, originally they did start out as a trio, actually. They had a drummer as well. So there was Matt Swan on drums and Joe Dennis on guitar, but then Joe left. And I think that's when Mike started thinking, you know, experimenting and got that kind of bass sound where you've got, it sounds like an electric guitar with his pedals as well as the bass sort of thing. He went over to Australia for a while because Swan was the drum guy, was from Australia, but then he ended up coming back to Worthing. And then Ben Thatcher, who used to be the original drummer, picked him up from the airport, apparently, and they started, and that's when it all happened.
Blimey.
So they moved to Worthing, and isn't that funny? They couldn't get a gig for months. Months and months.
Unbelievable.
I know. And they ended up just playing loads of open mic nights with acoustic singer-songwriters. And that happens a lot, actually, you know, when you're new on the scene. Do you remember when we first released our album? Everyone was booked up, though. It wasn't just the fact that people didn't like us. They just booked up a good year. It was a year and a half, actually.
Yeah.
And I remember, having to get on the phone, actually, and just go, come on, book us in. We'll book us in for, like, a year and a half's time.
And Harry Simpson was the first guy.
He was.
That booked us.
Saltburn up north. Lad.
Yeah,
it was
great. Yeah.
And thank you, Harry. He was he was the first guy to book us. So thank you so much, man. And he's a lovely, lovely man as
lovely
well.
Lovely guy, yeah.
Loves his music. So, and they developed their music. And this is, the story about how it goes. There's always a story.
Always,
right? So they started developing their music at Brighton Electric at the studios there. Then they got signed to Warner Chappell Music. And what did it for them is they signed to the same management company as the Arctic Monkeys. Thank you.
Now that I'm almost gone, sliver of ice on my tongue, and the taste night. It tastes so good, it felt so right for the first time in my life. Cold ice on my tongue makes it sway towards oblivion. Sweet the vista, the portal view. On my way to black and blue, on my way to black and blue. How sweet the vista, the portal view. Couldn't believe it till tonight. This whole place made of light. I made myself home. Don't know what's wrong, don't know what's right. I belong here as animals might. Taste of water on my tongue. It was cool and it was good. I never knew it before. And I love you so much more. I love you so much more. Never knew it before. I love you so much more. I love you so much more, I never knew it before. I love you so much more, I love you so much more, I never knew it before. I love you so much more, I love you so much more, I never knew it before. Taste of water on my tongue, on my way towards oblivion. Taste of water on my tongue, on my way towards oblivion.
Anoni and the Johnsons. Sliver of Ice, released as a single on the 13th of June from the forthcoming album My Back Was a Bridge for You to Cross, set for release next month on the 7th of July, very current at the moment, on the Remote Control and Rough Trade record labels. And the song remembers some of the last words Lou Reed shared with her, which is absolutely fascinating.
I know.
It's such a beautiful song. And I posted this on Mastodon a few weeks ago because when I first listened to it. And it's incredible because the song is actually very, very simple. And, you know, there's hardly anything going on. But it just goes to prove that a fabulous vocal just...
She's amazing.
...makes it just incredible. You know, what a lovely, you know...
I watched the video record this afternoon, you know.
No.
Perfect, and it's she's there, and I think there's a projector. I think this is how she's done it. There's a projector of her face, and she's actually being projected on, so she moves around the expression with her face, exactly the same makeup.
Wow,
it's beautiful, and I didn't realise that she was like Lou Reed was really close with her. You know, I mean, really, really helped her, and they used to go and gig with each other and support each other all the time. And this is what she had to say. She said, a friend of mine, this is in the press release, expressed to me in the final months of his life, this is about Lou Reed, that the simplest sensations had begun to feel almost rapturous. A carer had placed a shard of ice on his tongue one day, and it was such a sweet and unbelievable feeling that it caused him to weep with gratitude.
Blimey.
God, it makes you cry. He was a hardcore kind of guy, and these moments were transforming the way he was seeing things. I mean, so...
Absolutely.
So, see, things, you know, I've seen... I've been there, you know, when with my mum, and it just brings back memories, you know, and it's such a tender part.
Well, we love Lou Reed and Laurie Anderson, that whole love story.
God, that
so
really
beautiful,
hurt, didn't it?
You know?
We cried.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
And
yeah.
It was so great, though. And isn't that beautiful, though, that Anoni actually remembered and wrote this song for him. And she was British born. I didn't realise that. And based in New York now, though. And,
well, I first came across her when, with Anthony and the Johnsons, which was the name of the band before that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was a 2005 album called I Am a Bird Now. And there's just a fantastic, that song, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the title track of the record. Oh, God, it's so beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. And it featured guest performers with Lou Reed, Boy George, and Rufus Wainwright, and Devendra Banhart, and won the UK's Mercury Prize, also named Album of the Year by Mojo magazine.
I know.
And the first time I got, because I remember the vocal, and it just struck me. I think I heard it on Six Music. It just got me in a grip. And I thought, who the fuck is this? I've got to listen. I've got to get the record straight away. And I rushed out and got it, you know?
Oh. Do you know what's really beautiful, though, with the No News story is that she's really creative. I just getting a feel of her, just like watching her videos today and readings about her. She was born in 1971 in Chichester and identified as transgender from an early age. And then in 1977, her family moved to Amsterdam and then moved on to San Jose in California.
Yeah.
And she was an avid music collector. And guess who her influences were?
Go on.
OMD.
No.
Kate Bush.
Wow.
Culture Club.
Ah.
Alison Moyet. Especially Mark and the Mambas, which was an emotional, incredibly dark side project for Mark Almond.
Right.
And, of course, Mark Almond was totally into Scott Walker.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. And in 1990, Anoni moved to Manhattan. And this is what she inspires me about as well. She attended the experimental theatre wing of New York University. And in 92, she founded the performance collective, the Black Lips Performance Cult, with her creative partner, Johanna Constantine. And they performed a new play every Monday at 1 o'clock in the morning at the now closed Pyramid Club on Avenue A, baby.
Wow.
That's great. And she used to like have another name, a pseudonym called Fiona Blue. And she used to like sing at nightclubs in Manhattan between the techno and house DJ sets. And she had these like disarming compositions, and she had these pre-recorded cassettes that she created by herself with a keyboard and a four-track recorder as her backing tracks and stuff.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. You know, but it's that sort of creativity, you know, and incredible. What a voice. Produced by a Jimmy Hogarth.
Yeah.
Who is born in 1974. Orkney Islands in Scotland.
Orkney.
Yeah, Orkney, yeah, right up there. And now is a London-based producer. Oh, worked with loads of people. Amy Winehouse, Sia, Tom Grennan, Paolo Nutini, Duffy, Karim Bellie-Ray, Estelle.
Amy Winehouse.
Tina Turner.
Tina.
Yeah.
Oh, Tina.
Katie Tunstall, James Blunt, loads of people. So he produces, but it's a lovely, luscious production. That tremolo guitar always gets me.
Oh, do you know what I've got to say quickly as well, just before we move on to the next track, right? So the album cover of My Back Was a Bridge for You to Cross has got a photograph of Marsha P. Johnson on the front, who was the black trans activist. And she met her a few weeks before she was found floating dead in the Hudson River.
No.
And she's always been an inspiration to her. So it's beautiful that there's a beautiful portrait of Marsha on the front cover of a new album, and it's available to pre-order right now.
Thank you.
Squid. Undergrowth releases their second single from their second studio album, Oh Monolith. And that was released on the 9th of June this year on Warp Records, the same label that Brian Eno is on.
Squid.
Squid.
Squid Ink Pasta. Love it.
Squid.
This is the best song I've heard for ages. I love it. I love Squid. I love eating it. I love listening to it. Squid it up, baby. Squid, squid, squid. I'm loving it. And it was recorded at Real World Studios, which is Pete Gabriel's studio.
Yeah.
And produced by, and this is probably not surprising, he's becoming one of my favourite producers, Dan Carey, who's done Black Midi. We featured a few weeks ago on the show. Love Black Midi. And Fontaine's DC. Love that record. Amazing. And what I love about it is that there's a tremendous variety of instrumentation. I love the fact it breaks down. I love that hypnotic bass. I love everything about it. And it's got a really cool... Is it a game?
Oh, yeah. I was playing the game this afternoon.
Yeah, because they've got a video, but they've actually got a game. Yeah. As well. If you go onto the website, you can get this game. And it's like a old Pac-Man type monster thing.
That's brilliant.
You shoot them up. But it's really, really old school and dead basic. But it is absolutely fantastic. And the track's playing in the background. But it almost detracts, because you're concentrating on the game. It detracts from the song, in my personal opinion. But I'm going to have to listen to this record. In fact, we're going to be playing more Squid. I'll just love it, love it, love it, love it.
Well, these guys, they're a British experimental post-punk five-piece from Brighton. And, of course, we're featuring Sussex today in this week's show, because we're actually playing our last Starlight in Campbell UK tour date on the 14th of October, and we'll be playing at Coolham Music Club in Horsham, hence the old focus on Sussex. So I love this, right? So the whole song about this undergrowth song, drummer and vocalist Ollie Judge said that he really was getting into animism, the idea that spirits can live in inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching Twin Peaks when Josie Packard's spirit goes into a chest of drawers.
Ah.
So Undergrowth was written from the perspective of Ollie being reincarnated as a bedside table in the afterlife, and how the thought of being reincarnated as an inanimate object would be really dreadful. The scene, that's where the game comes in, you see, because the video game was created by a guy called, I love his name, Frank Force. It's like Squid, you know, they're very dramatic, aren't they?
Yeah.
But it's really, really all pixelated squares, and your character, instead of like Pac-Man or something, you're a chest of drawers.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And you've got to go up, jump up, and you get the gold coins, and you've got to jump over the fire, and then these rats came along, and I didn't know, but they killed you as well, and then you ended up sort of going up, and then suddenly there were space invaders, so it was like, woohoo!
Where were the squids, though? I want to know where the squid were.
I don't know, but I just thought I was really, really good, and they just said it pause the game, and then you could go to the shop. So I just thought it was really, really interesting, actually. I just really liked
the
guys.
Well, when they were writing it, the band set up camp in the writing room at Peter Gabriel's Real World Studio Complex, which is near Bath, of course.
Yeah.
I've been down there. In fact, there's a recording.
The writing room.
Yeah.
Free Roger.
And the town is called Box. Which is really cool. Squid are in Box, talking about cabinets. Anyway, it's a very damp, cold and shabby bunker across the river from the main studio. But the cool thing about Real World Studios is that the main control room's half underwater, and you see ducks all swimming across the top.
I fancy sort of like, you know, getting the wetsuit on and sort of snorkeling up, you know, and just like going in and looking at everyone through the water, looking into the studio from the water. I thought it would be really good. What I really like about these guys as well is they, when they started road testing the ideas for this album, it was just after they were playing to sort of, you know, isolated, all-seated, distant shows to crowds, because it was still sort of just
lockdown.
After the pandemic. So they basically road tested a lot of these songs as instrumentals live before they put all the lyrics in. And it's a lot about the environment and about the role of domesticity and that, just that feeling, you know, when you're displaced, when you're away from a place for a long time. We felt that. I think we've all felt that recently, haven't we? All of us.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, and what I love about this band, though, is, and I'm just coming back to it, is that creativity. Squid.
Squid.
Yeah. And
I know. We just keep want to say
because,
it.
You know, because last year we were listening to a lot of The Smile, you know, and I love Nigel Godrich's. Nigel Godrich's production. You know, he's one of my favourite producers, along with Daniel Lawar, of course, who I watched a three-hour documentary.
It's fantastic. In fact, you are just like Daniel Lawar. Everything that he said, you say, is like, it was really weird. You could have been Soul Brothers. Well, you are Soul Brothers.
It's amazing. Yeah, and it was being interviewed by Rick Beato. So if you want to look at it on YouTube,
you should do it.
You're into production or into music of any type, you know, Daniel Lanois, he's a great guy, and it's beautiful. But Lanois, Dan Carey now, I think, Nigel Godrich are definitely my favourite producers right now. Well-oiled sisters, Trouble, the the 2021 version released as a single and featured on their three-track EP Refreshed, released in 2021 on the Humdrum label. The song was originally released on their 1996 album, Wow, Alcohol and Tears. Now, you'll know a lot about these guys.
Hello, Lucy Edwards.
Yeah.
Who's the lead singer of the Well-Oiled Sister. Happens to be really good mates with my best friend, Zoe Harrod, and they both live in Brighton. And you and I, Simon, when we first met Lucy, a wonderful day together, didn't we? On the beach in Brighton.
Getting drunk.
We had a lovely lunch. And Lucy is fantastic company. And Zoe too. We had such a great time.
We did.
And they came to see us play when we played at the Half Moon in Putney. And last time we were down in Brighton, we all hung out together for the night. So Lucy, I knew that she was in this band, but as soon as I heard this song, we both went, we love it. It's fantastic. Yeah. And they were the original Dirty Cowgirls, creators of cowpunk, formed in Edinburgh, but we're featuring them on the show because Lucy's in Brighton. And we're featuring Sussex today because we're finishing our tour at the Coulomb Live Music Club on the 14th of October in Horsham.
We are.
We are indeed. So it says here, the Well-Oiled Sisters took the world by the throat and more sensitive regions in the 90s and noughties, wowing crowds across the planet. Now, I didn't realise this, that they appeared with Lily Savage in the West End performance of Prisoner Cell Block H,
a camp version
of the Australian TV series. And they opened for Morrissey on his 1992 Your Arsenal tour.
And just to show what trouble they are, they also walked naked into a Swedish press conference and have been mistaken for terrorists in Northern Ireland. Now they are so. These girls, we talk about trouble. They are a load of trouble. But what I love about that I love the I love it's a great song. It's a very very catchy song. I really love it. And but that fiddle is fantastic. You know, it's like sliding all over the place. You know, but really well played and very 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 musical and just fun. You know, the whole thing is fun and powerful. And I've seen some videos of them performing live, and they're absolutely hilarious. These guys, you know? But it's more than that. I mean, they're hilarious and they're great fun. But I think that, you know, I mean, she's got a great voice.
Lucy,
really
we were
has.
Saying that actually when we were playing this afternoon, weren't we? Yeah, really great musician, can play lots of other things besides the guitar. And I just think, and still going really strong, very, very creative. And the band got back together again a couple of years ago and they played a sold out night at the 100 Club, which I think is great. And they toured with WOMAD, you know, and they headlined festivals and they shared stages with the Pet Shop Boys, Van Morrison, Suzanne Vega, Village People, and they were on the BBC TV. And in fact, there's loads of interviews of them and stuff and little excerpts of them playing. So anyway, Lucy, we love you. We think you're great. The Well-Oiled Sisters, you
Amazing.
Can get their music. At least put them on. They're great.
But unfortunately, that's the end of the show.
Didn't it go quick? I've loved doing this show with you tonight.
Yeah, it's been absolutely brilliant. Really has. Love it every week. Well, we're featuring, over the next few weeks, a track each week from our new album, Starlight.1, which is available to pre-order now.
Yeah, it is. Starlight-Campbell.com.
And what did we play tonight?
The Voting Machine.
Yeah, it's really. I love that track, Greg.
The Voting Machine.
I love talking about it. I love chatting about it.
Well, we don't really do that, do we? I mean, we've worked. We've literally really only finished the album like a week ago.
Yeah,
we
got the masters today, so it's been. It's been absolutely brilliant. Yeah, and of course you can listen to this podcast on vibes.starlight-campbell.com.
Yeah,
and the tickets for our tour are also on sale.
Yeah, come and see us live. Like, buy your tickets early as well, then we know you're coming. And it's really good because it helps the venues, you know. Everyone needs a bit of love. And let's all get together and share a great night of music.
Yeah.
Rock.